Cinder House by Freya Mask, read by Anna Burnett. Part 1. Ella's father died of the poison in their tea. Ella drank less, and so might have lived and not turned ghost at all if the house hadn't shrieked for its master's murder in the moment she stood, dizzied and weak, at the top of the stairs. Ella flinched, stumbled, and fell. There were 15 stairs. She struck her head on the 7th. The sound of crunching bone was not loud, but the house gave another window-shaking shriek as the girl who should have inherited it died not 2 minutes after her father, the blood of his line reduced to a bright smear on the hard wooden edge of that 7th step. Ella's stepmother had the stairs carpeted in time for the wake following the double funeral. The carpet was a pretty shade of blue, with brass stair rods, and covered the stain entirely. People trod Ella's blood unknowingly underfoot, while in the parlour Ella's stepmother, a pragmatic woman named Patrice, dabbed at her eyes with a pre-dampened handkerchief and nudged her younger daughter whenever the girl looked like she might forget herself enough to smirk. The house had wanted to apologise for its part in her death, Ella figured. It wanted to give her more existence, if not more life. By the time of the funeral, the ghost that had been Ella had only just got the hang of consciousness. Appearance would be beyond her for some weeks yet. She was too much the house to be Ella as well. Some unpeeling was yet to happen. Her awareness drifted from floorboard to windowpane, to candlesticks, to the wide pottery platter with its red border and its painted pattern of pears and rosemary, which Ella's great-aunt had given to Ella's parents on their wedding day. At the wake, this platter held fan-shaped cakes made with vanilla and hazelnuts. Ella could feel the delicate scrape of fingers against the glossy surface as the guests took the cakes to eat. It sent a thrill of unfamiliarity through her, all the way up to where the chimneys gasped into the sky. Finally, she found the look of a person again. It was summer by then. The sun soaked deliriously into the dark red tiles of her roof, and Ella's stepsisters, like most of the city folk, pinned up their hair and went swimming in the river on days when the royal sorcerers declared it free of drowning sprites. The ghost of Ella looked more or less like Ella had when she died. She was still a 16-year-old girl, with a strong chin and 1 foot a size larger than the other. She wore the lavender day dress with the lace collar that she'd worn on her last day of life. She'd only ever been halfway fond of this dress, but her father had liked it. Where the living Ella had been blue-eyed, with hair like a wheat field touched by sunset, her ghost had eyes the impassive grey of stone bricks, and her hair was the red of roof tiles, streaked with the grey-white of lichen and pigeon droppings. Ella determined this by looking in the backs of spoons. She did not show up reflected in glass, nor in mirrors. She had read something about ghosts and mirrors long ago, but couldn't remember it now. She only knew she'd become visible to her family when Patrice walked into the upstairs parlour, screamed at the sight of her, and dropped a cup of tea. Ella winced. The smash of the cup hurt like a hand clenched hard in hair, and the trickle of hot liquid on the floor was an unpleasant itch. Still, she said, "Hello, stepmother." Patrice adjusted to the idea of a ghost remarkably quickly. They'd known that the house was on its way to being properly magical, a valuable, respectable thing to have in the family. Her husband hadn't changed his will when they married. It still left the house to his daughter, Ella. Ella didn't have a will, and with two silent corpses, it was easy for the living to dictate the timeline. Ella fell down the stairs, yes, such a terrible accident, and died first, and her father's heart stopped from grief when it happened. Everything went to Patrice by common law. On the day that Ella became visible, Patrice, once she'd regained some colour in her cheeks, looked at the shattered cup and the tea seeping into the edge of the rug. "Oh, clean that up," she said.